If you want to open up to Matthew chapter 5 with me this morning. And we're going to look at the last part of the chapter, starting at verse 43. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 43. This is what it says. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what rewards will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So we're looking together this morning at the next installment of our current sermon series, which we've entitled Giving It Up, as we think about, over this Lent period, things in our life which we shouldn't just give up just for 40 days, but things which if we give them up, we allow God to do a work in us and it makes us more like Christ. So far, we've talked about the idea and the notion of giving up control, that God never called us to be people who are in control, but we're called to be in a loving relationship with the one who holds all things in his hands and knows the plans that he has for our lives. We've spoken about the notion of giving up expectations, that so often in our life we expect life to go in a certain direction and go in a certain way, and so often we can find ourselves disappointed if our expectations are not met with reality and we can become bitter and cynical as a result of that. Rather, we're called to give up those expectations to the one who knows the end from the beginning. If you were here last week, Zoe opened up the account for us of the woman at the well and helped us to see that we're also called to be people who lay down superiority. It's easy for us, whether we realize it or not, to look down on others, to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Yet Jesus shows us by example a way of breaking down those barriers of class, of race, of status, and we're called to be people who do the same. This week, I want to open up our next topic together and recognize and realize at the beginning of it that it's perhaps the most emotive topic that we're going to talk about over the course of these weeks. For some here today, as we open up this topic, it has the potential to bring up a little bit of pain. And it's not my intention this morning to deliberately remind you of past hurts and past pains. But I want to ask at the beginning, what if the Holy Spirit wants to do a genuine work of healing in our hearts today and bring us to a point where that pain is no longer painful for us? And with that in mind, we're going to be talking about the subject together today of giving up enemies. And it doesn't take a prophet to recognize that in a room with this many people in it, there will be people here today who have been incredibly hurt by the words and the actions of others in their life. For some in this room, however, you might sit here today and you might think to yourself, well, I don't really have any enemies whatsoever. And in many respects, that's quite a middle-class Western philosophy and a Western way of looking at things, because we all, at times, go through life and we get hurt by the words and the actions of others. So this morning, let's define what we mean by an enemy as we start talking about this together today. An enemy, I want to suggest today, is anyone who works bad against us or wishes bad against us in any capacity. And at times, if you work bad against other people, or you wish bad against other people, they could regard you as their enemy. Maybe today you're sitting here in some way, shape, or form, and you're holding on to an offense of the past that someone has committed against you, and you simply can't let go of it. Today, you have an enemy. And if that is the definition of an enemy, to some extent, We all have enemies in our life because no one walks through this life without being hurt by others in thought, in word, or in action. Whether that's a deliberate act by someone, or whether we hurt someone or get hurt subconsciously because of the actions of others. And as a result, we can all carry around baggage to some degree from the relationships that we have in our lives. The issue with that is that the baggage that we carry of those enemies that we have in our life, the unforgiveness that we can have in our hearts at times, was never a weight that we were called to carry. And often, when we find ourselves in a place of hurt, in a place of offense that we simply can't let go of because other people have committed acts against us or said things against us, often it's us that ends up with the noose around our neck because those who have hurt us don't even realize the impact necessarily that they have had on our life. So we can find ourselves imprisoned to our past. But this year, this Lent, what would it look like if the Holy Spirit did a work in us, in those who are explicitly hurting because of the past? Yes, this morning, that he brings healing to your souls. But even more than that, what if the Holy Spirit did a work in all of us, so instead of taking the road of offense at times, we choose the path of peace? And instead of seeking retribution and vengeance in whatever form that might come at times because of our hurt, we learn to love as Jesus loves. To help us think through this topic together this morning, we turn to the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives in Matthew 5-7. This is Jesus' longest teaching on what it means really to be a follower of him and what it means to live life as he calls us to. It's incredibly practical. It shows us what the reality of God's kingdom should look like for those God followers who are seeking after his kingdom and seeking to be citizens of God's. And what Jesus is doing here in this section, the section that we've read out together today, is he is addressing wrong understandings of the law of Moses. And as a result, wrong living that is creeping into people's lives. And you know, when Jesus talks about the Old Testament and he teaches on the Old Testament laws, what Jesus will often do is he will upgrade Old Testament laws. So for example, he says, "You have heard it said, do not murder. I am telling you, if you have murderous intentions in your heart, if you look at someone with murderous intentions, you have already committed murder in your heart." And you know, when it comes to scripture, sometimes we can look at a text and we can find it incredibly hard to understand what the text is saying. What does this mean? How do I apply this to my life? I don't quite get it. I don't quite understand it. How should I interpret this? But sometimes we can come to a text and it is absolutely clear what we are called to do. The problem is, it's just incredibly difficult to live out. And when we focus on Jesus' teaching here on enemies, that is exactly what we are faced with. Because what he teaches here about enemies is radically countercultural. In a world which says, don't get mad, get even. In a world which says the right thing to do when someone hurts you is to hold a grudge, Jesus says love. Now, the first thing that we notice about our passage today is that as Jesus is teaching, a misunderstanding of the law has already crept into the thinking of those who are listening. Jesus said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies." And that is the understanding that those people who were listening would have had. And they are partially right to have that understanding. You see, the first part of Jesus' teaching here comes from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, which says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." But what happens to this teaching over time is that the Pharisees, they misapply some other Old Testament teachings around some of the things that God hates. So we can read, for example, in Psalm 139, verses 21 to 22, these words, "Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. And as a result of misapplying some of the Old Testament teachings about what God hates, what happens is that the Pharisees come up with this kind of hybrid teaching which says you should be a people who love your neighbors but hate your enemies. But Jesus flips that idea on its head. Jesus here is making it abundantly clear that as people who want to live in the kingdom of God and follow after him, we are called to be people who love our enemies. In effect, what Jesus does here is he says that every single person is our neighbor, and we are called, therefore, to love them. What we see here is the practicalities of the story of the Good Samaritan played out. I'm sure you know the story. A Jewish man took a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, and as he was taking this journey, he gets set upon by a gang of robbers who beat him, who strip him, who leave him for dead. And as he's laying there in the road on that hot day, life ebbing away from him, two of his own people walk past him and then cross over and walk to the other side. But then a Samaritan comes along. Zoe told us last week a little bit about the relationship between Jews and Samaritans, but this Samaritan, who should have been an enemy to the man laying in the road, picks him up, nurses him, and makes sure he is put in a place where he can be nursed back to full health. And you know, when we come to Jesus' teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things which astonishes me about this is that at no point does Jesus tell us how we should feel. In our modern Western society, we often associate, don't we, the notion of love with a feeling. It's why people can so easily fall in and out of love. It's why we at times can wrestle with the concept of forgiveness. The very notion at times of forgiving those who have done us wrong or those people that have caused us extreme hurt or heartache in our life is incredibly difficult for us because the pain that has been caused to us is simply at times too hard to let go of. And biblically speaking, though, when we're talking about love, we're talking about a choice that we make. And notice, from our passage today, what Jesus does here is he builds on this notion phrase by phrase. He says, love your enemies. Make a conscious choice, therefore, to love those who have hurt you, whatever they have done, and however unlovable they might be to you. But more than that, when they curse you, look for ways to bless them. The world says, you have cursed me and I'm never going to forget it. I'm always going to be against you as a result. But that's not the way I'm teaching. Bless those who curse you. But then he goes further than that. And he says, do good to those who hate you. The world says, you hate me, so I'm going to look for ways to hate you back and do evil to you because that is what you deserve. But that's not how Jesus teaches. But even more than that, Jesus says, pray for those who spitefully use you. The world says, you attacked me, so I hope you get attacked. But Jesus says, pray for those who spitefully use you. This is not how I want my people to operate, in a place of revenge, in a place of hurt, in a place of looking to do harm. But I want my people to love those who hate them, to bless those who curse them, do good to those who do evil towards them. The big question, therefore, that we have to ask today is this. Why should I love my enemy? Why should I love that person who has done so much harm to me? Because the simple fact is this morning, when we learn to do good to those who have hurt us and done harm to us, it begins to change us. When we put love into action, our feelings eventually follow. And the simple answer is this. When we begin to love our enemies, we become more like the gods who we are here worshiping and singing about today. Why? Because God shows love to his enemies. In fact, the Bible tells us that whilst we were still enemies of God, Whilst we were still far away from him, Christ died for us. The fact of the matter is, whether you realize it or not, that at one point in your life, you were once an enemy of God's. The Bible tells us that we've all thought things wrong, said things wrong, and done things wrong, which the Bible calls sin. And as a result, there is separation between humanity and God. But Jesus came. He took the punishment upon himself. He died a death on a cross that we deserve. And as a result, we can be free and no longer be an enemy of God's. Today, you may be here and you may still be an enemy of God because you have never turned to Jesus and asked him for forgiveness for yourself. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation, to seek the Lord while he is there to be found. Today, you can know forgiveness from your past and you can know the love of God in your life and begin to live as God always intended you to live. You know, the Bible tells us that it's God's kindness which leads us towards repentance. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus calls us to actively love rather than passively allow ourselves to fester in our hurt and in our pain. It's the notion that we see talked about in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9, where we read these words: love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We've spoken a little bit about this notion before. This idea of heaping coals on someone's head seems like an odd one, right? At first glance, I read this and I think, well, this is kind of just a passive way of revenge. You do something nice for someone, then they feel so guilty about it. They go, oh, okay, maybe I should sort this situation out. But that's not what we're talking about here. You see, in biblical times, when people would carry anything, they would always carry things on their heads. That gave them the opportunity in busy marketplaces and in crowded places to walk around relatively freely and do what they needed to do. So they would often carry everything, jars, water, baskets of fruit, vegetables, anything on their heads. And in many homes at the time, the only source of heat that a home had came from what was known as a brazier. And this brazier would heat the whole house up, and it would also be used for cooking as well. And the idea of this brazier is that you would keep this fire in your house burning the whole day long. It would never go out. But if the fire in the brazier did go out, you would have to pick up the brazier, put it on your head, go to a neighbor's house and ask them if you could borrow some fire from them. They would put coal in it, and hopefully you would be all right as a result of that, if you had kind neighbors. This was the way that people kept warm, they kept not being hungry, and they kept alive. To feed an enemy, therefore, is like heaping coals in the brazier. It's meant for food, warmth, and life itself. This is not a passive way of revenge, but it's an active way of loving. And if God's kindness leads us towards repentance, our love in action leads those in our life which have hurt and harmed us towards repentance too. You may sit here today and you may say, Luke, it's all right for you to stand up the front and say this today. You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how people have hurt me and what people have done to me. You don't know what I am carrying. And you know what, church? You're right if that's what you're thinking today. I haven't walked in your shoes. I don't know how you have been hurt. It's easy for me to stand at the front in many respects and say, love your enemies. All you've got to do is love them. But the reality is, this is a hard teaching. But you know, it's also the only way to true freedom. Will you come back to a point constantly of needing to forgive and to forgive and let go and let go? Yes. Do you do this alone? Absolutely not. So we begin to bring this teaching into land this morning. I want to take us to the story of Corrie ten Boom, someone who was imprisoned by the Nazis in the Second World War, saw her sister die in a concentration camp, and then years later, in a church service, maybe a little bit like this one, she came face to face with one of her enemies. And this is what she said. It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him. The former SS man who had stood guard at the shower door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I saw since that time. And suddenly it was all there. The room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain-blanched face. He came up to me at church as it was emptying, beaming and bowing. How grateful I am for your message, Fraulein, he said. To think that, as you say, he has washed all of our sins away. His hand was thrust out to shake mine. And I, who preach so often to people the need to forgive, kept my hands by my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hands. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for a stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not our forgiveness anymore than our goodness that the world's healing hinges on, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with that command, the love itself. Today, church, the call is to lay down, to give up our enemies. That's a call for you and for me to be free. On our own, we simply don't have the ability to do it. But walking with Jesus by our side, he empowers us to let go. Often, the world teaches us that any bad relationship can simply be fixed if the other person just changes. Today, the call is to look at ourselves, to act as Jesus calls us to act. That despite how we might be feeling right now in this moment towards another person, despite what someone might have done to us, we're called to bless them. Despite what people might say about us, we're called to pray for them. this Lent season, as we as a church and individuals seek to become more like Jesus in what we do, we think, and we say. The call of Christ today is simple. Lay down your enemies. Don't any longer sit back and passively sit in hurt, but actively love. And today, I believe that Holy Spirit wants to do a work of healing in the lives of people here. And with that in mind, I'm going to invite the band to come up. Because I believe that God wants to bring wholeness where there's heartache, to bring healing, and to bring forgiveness. And for all of us this morning, why don't we stand, church? The challenge for all of us today is to simply examine ourselves, to examine our relationships in our life, to ask for forgiveness for the things that we might have done which would hurt others, to seek the Lord's, and then to seek how we can put this truth and this teaching into practice in our life. I wonder if there's someone in your life that you can think of right now that maybe God's bringing to mind that you've hurt over this last week or month. Maybe with a clumsy word, maybe with an action, I don't know. What's the Holy Spirit asking you to do as a result of that? Prayer team, I'm going to ask you to go to the back. And I believe that God wants to minister to some people here today. So if today, as we've been talking about these things, actually it's brought up memories of hurt and pain that you haven't been able to let go of. If you know this morning you have enemies based on those descriptions and definitions that we've talked about together today, but you want to lay them down, that you want to love like Jesus loves, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to be able to do that today. So we've got a prayer team at the back, and as we worship God in song, I want to encourage you to go and to receive some ministry today. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Let the tears fall where they need to fall today, that you might be free. So as the prayer team get set up at the back, let's pray together this morning. Father God, we like to think that we are people who don't have enemies. But the reality is, to some extent, we all do. We all hold on to things which have hurt us. We can all passively want things to happen to other people because of what they have done to us. And today, Lord God, I just proclaim freedom over this place. Lord, your word tells us that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So today, may we know and we walk in that freedom. And for those who need a special touch from you, Lord, will you meet with them today? But I pray as well, Lord God, that this won't just be another sermon which is preached, where we say, nice sermon, vicar, and go away and forget all about it. But Lord God, will you highlight what you want us to do with this word this week? How you want us to bless, how you want us to pray, and how you want us to love. May we come to your altar right now and hear your voice. In Jesus' name.